Good morning and welcome to WNHH Radio's High Haven, a program about everything Jewish in our community. Tower 1 Tower East is a mainstream of our, not just our Jewish community, but the New Haven community. It's a model senior living community right downtown on Tower Lane off of Church Street, right by the highway there. And it's been there for 50 years. It started out as an experiment on how to have communal high-quality living for seniors who no longer can live in their own homes. And now it's become an institution. And it just celebrated 50 years in the business. Two of the people helping to keep that place going are right here in the WNHH studio today to talk about the anniversary and what's happening next at Tower 1 Tower East. Say good morning to Jackie Curl, Tower 1 CEO, and Managing Occupancy Director Rebecca Goodman Olshansky. Thanks for coming in, folks.
Good morning, Paul.
All right, so I need to get your mic up a little bit. Jackie, you want to say good morning again?
Good morning, Paul. Thank
All
you
right,
for having
we
us.
We hear you loud and clear. Good job. They're getting close to the mic. So it is a big time at Tower 1 Tower East. And just so people, if you don't know, those are two big towers right by where you get on the Route 34 connector. That's what's left of it, the little sliver, to get onto I-95 on downtown. And it's how many apartments are there in those two buildings?
I have about 328 apartments between the two buildings.
It's considered a great place to live downtown.
And, fabulous place.
Where people probably have, you have a pretty good waiting list of people who try to get into
yes,
that place.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But you're celebrating your 50th year. And you started that off with a party that I just saw some great pictures from right before Rosh Hashanah, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And how did that go?
It was an amazing event. We had a wonderful turnout of all of our supporters. We had our founders there. We were really trying to respect and appreciate the past as we move forward into the next 50 years of the towers. And we had a wonderful turnout. Jim Vlock and Linda Cantor, who were two of the original founders, were able to join us. Mayor Hart.
Jim Vlock's like up at about 90 now, huh?
No.
He's still going strong.
He is.
He's young at heart. Young at heart. And he's very pleased, obviously, with the legacy that he and Linda have been able to create over at Tower 1, Tower East, and all of the residents who have benefited from their idea 50 years ago.
And you know, I'm always struck. I think I was most recently in the building a month ago for a community meeting. A couple things really strike me when I go into Tower 1, Tower East is that, you know, some of us have experiences going to even well-run nursing homes, which this is not, where you see people, despite best efforts, it's not the greatest place to end up. And I know so many families who get so excited when they've had someone on a waiting list and they get to live at Tower 1, Tower East. And you can see as soon as you go in why. I mean, besides the fact that the place is just really clean and bright, it was designed very well. You're kind of happy when you're in there. A lot's going on. And not like hectic, but, you know, community has meetings there. You have the big dining room, which obviously is the important part of the day for so many people there with their friends. You go up to the apartments, which I have been. Some of my friends have moved in, and they're very well kept. They're very clean and modern and accessible. And it's this whole community feeling to the place because you have people who don't live at the towers who are often in there, Jewish community, but also not in the Jewish community, who have activities there. And then with the seniors, we often will send reporters there from time to time because you do such interesting activities with them, tying people into the community, whether it's, and we'll talk about this later in the show, you know, art, link up with Long Wharf Theater to write plays about their experience and put them on, or have the, we definitely could talk about the senior prom.
Yes.
So the idea, and that's not an accident. You talked about 50 years ago. What was the idea in 1967 when you said Jim Vlock, Linda Cantor, but also Beatrice Horowitz, Irving Ensign, Leonora Wexler? What exactly was the vision and what did not exist when they had this vision?
From what Jim has shared with me and Linda is that the vision was really to create a kind of a college dorm for seniors. And when Tower One first opened, that was the goal. And many people who were moving in were still working and still active, driving in the community. Obviously, over the years, our average age has grown and increased as lifespans have increased.
And active lifespans.
Active lifespans. And I
like
think
people in their 70s, 80s doing stuff now, including running for president.
Absolutely. I was just on my way out and ran into Fran Walnow,
right,
who runs our gift shop at the Towers. And she was sharing with me that she and another resident, Doris Dimenstein, will be accepting donations on Monday to help children who are coming to New Haven from Puerto Rico, and they're collecting new school supplies, backpacks, paper products.
So these lunch are people boxes. Who live at the towers.
And
seniors.
Fran, is it, how old is Fran? 97?
No,
94?
In early 90s, yeah, but they're active. Nothing grows under the feet of our residents. I
mean, so as an example, people, including a woman in her 90s who live at Terra One, found out something just happened in the news that's going to affect New Haven, which is Puerto Rico's devastating hurricane, and people are going to be moving here, kids going to school, and they decide to do an activity that wasn't just for Terra One, but for New Haven.
Well, this is just on the heels, if I may say, about raising money for the hurricane that happened down in the Florida area.
It was actually in Texas.
Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
So they raised funds for that to help support displaced people area.
I mean, this is a resident idea. Residents got together, decided they raised almost $1,500, which they sent to another senior community down in Dallas that had sustained flooding. So, you know, this active, engaged community is really, like you say, you can feel it when you walk into the towers. I think it has to do with the tower's staff and board always having the primary focus on the resident because it is their home.
And how is this different from what used to exist for seniors in those days? And how's it different from what exists for seniors now? Why do people want to get in there so much?
I think it has to do with the seniors themselves kind of setting the tone. You know, there's this old, you know, idea that as you get older, you know, you're isolated, you know, you're not doing a lot of things, you're not really planning for the future. And I think our seniors are proving that wrong.
And we had a show the other day about Home Haven where you stay in your home still and you have this network.
Yeah.
But if you really can't stay in your home anymore.
Right.
It's just, and your family gets worried because even though you can go around and do stuff in the community, it's going to be too much. Like you're worried the stove's going to be left on or it's just like too much keeping track of all the bills or arranging for plumbing repairs or even getting to where you need to go. But yet you're still a pretty active person in a lot of ways. That seems like the sweet spot. You don't need to be in a nursing home, but you do get care, right? And people still have a lot of medical, you know, I noticed like in one woman I know living there, she gets her regular ride there to go to her doctors that are kind of arranged there for her and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yes, we have an office of resident services coordinators, and each resident who lives at the towers has a resident service coordinator assigned specifically to them. And they are there to help residents access services that they may need or qualify for. We just yesterday had a flu clinic run by the city health department. So resident services department was very involved with getting residents signed up, getting the forms filled out before the actual flu clinic started. So it ran very smoothly and the residents were able to get what they need. That's just one example of what, you know, the staff is doing to help the residents remain healthy and active and also get to the appointments that they need.
How important is the Jewish identity? So the Jewish community came together to make this happen.
Yes, it did.
And I assume they were concerned in part to their own aging parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a Jewish facility. Like, how many people live there?
I'd say just about 350 residents we have.
And there's this Jewish identity, but it's not just a Jewish place. That's what's so interesting about it to me.
Exactly.
So, like, I know I saw pictures of this there. I know Arlene Davis Rudd, who's been involved in African-American politics in New Haven since at least I've been here in the 70s. I just saw her the other night on primary night working on a campaign.
Yes.
And she's living, and she writes in the inner city newspaper. She's living there.
Yeah.
And yet there's this real Jewish identity there, too. I mean, the Jewish community, you always hear about the towers and activities going there. How does that work?
Well, I think, it, you know, it's part of the Jewish religion to care for your parents and the seniors in your community. And, you know, that's the goal, not just for Jewish residents, but for all residents. And it really becomes, it has become, you know, a melting pot at the towers of mutual respect for other people and non-judgmental. You know, this is the residents, you know, not
and
judging
yet the,
each
and
other.
And the Jewish community still has a sense of responsibility and ownership of this facility, even though it's its own nonprofit.
Right.
A lot of government money goes to pay the rents of people who have exhausted their assets, that kind of stuff. But yet there are enough Jewish people there that, don't you have a synagogue there?
Yes, we do. We have a very active synagogue.
Like two of my friends, Isaiah Cooper and Ruth Greenblatt, they come down on Friday nights and lead the services. Mm-hmm. And I know some people go to those services and they love it.
They have a very active synagogue. I believe they must have about 80 odd members. They have Friday night services, Saturday morning services. They just finished the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They're starting Sukkot tonight. There is a sukkah.
Oh, there is a sukkah.
So we have a sukkah. Mm-hmm.
Where on the grounds is the sukkah?
It's in our courtyard. And actually, on Sunday, it was decorated in conjunction with the BBYO children. So we do a lot of intergenerational programs.
So BBYO, if people know, it's a youth organization, Jewish youth organization, B'nai B'rith youth organization, and they do a lot of community service projects.
Yes, they do.
So you had them there. I love Sukkot. I love the way it does bring people together, different generations, and you're kind of always, when I was growing up, I didn't know as much about Sukkot. Like I knew about it, but I didn't know anyone had a sukkah, even in a Jewish neighborhood. Whereas now in Westville where I live, we all have sukkahs. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly,
that's,
yeah,
that's like a fun part of being Jewish. It's not just fasting on Yom Kippur, which is also, I actually think, fun and interesting mm-hmm. and spiritual. Sukkot is just a celebratory kind of Earth Day holiday.
It is. It truly is. And there are community rabbis that will bring their B'nai Mitzvah classes and do intergenerational programs with the residents.
And
as
you
well.
Also have like performances. So I know the choirs, the Jewish community youth choirs. And if you don't mind, Rebecca, I'm going to just get a little head on more onto the mic when you speak.
Sure.
Just so we hear every word you say clearly. You're doing perfectly. no offense. But I've noticed that happens too. And you have the Holocaust memorials go on there.
Yes, we do.
So there is this Jewish identity.
There is.
But yes. You don't have to be Jewish.
No,
like
you do not.
Like the old bagel commercials.
No, you do not. And there are a few residents that are non-Jewish that attend our Shabbat services, our Friday night
yeah,
services.
Yeah, they're actually members of the synagogue.
And that's true. They are members of the synagogue.
So it becomes a gathering place for residents to be together.
And speaking of gathering places, is dinner a big deal? I got the sense that dinner is a big deal.
It really is.
You're really socializing people every day. Something to look forward to. The food's good.
It's great.
It's good. And it's kosher.
It is.
And it's kosher, which is important.
It truly is for people whose roots that grew up kept kosher, for people just having that identity. And we do have two kitchens. We do have the dairy kitchen and the meat kitchen. And it's always packed at lunchtime and breakfast. And they enjoy their dinners. You know, family members come and join them for dinner. They join on the holidays. This Rosh Hashanah, we had a lot of family members on first and second night. And on Seder, for Passover, the Seders are mobbed with family members. You know, lots of times seniors, it gets to a point where it's difficult for them to get out to mm-hmm. go and visit. So family members feel it's important to come. It's their home. It's their parents' home, the Towers. And we make that available. You know, the seders and family dinners, Jackie.
And, you know, Paul, I think it's important to know, you know, our Jewish identity. We do have a foundation, Towers Foundation, which is a separate 501c3 not-for-profit organization. And all of these life-enriching programs and activities, even the synagogue, are funded through donations from the community. We have strong support from our partners, our vendors. We also have strong support from the Jewish community itself, as well as other members of the community. Right. So, you know, it's really driven by donations. We do have some federally funded subsidies for housing subsidies, but really, you know, the rent covers the rent and all these other wonderful things that we are able to do, having the sukkah, having, you know, the subsidized, you know, Passover meals for residents that can't get out.
Right.
That's all done through fundraising and through the generous donations of people in the community.
And how does someone contribute to the Towers?
Well, they can visit our website.
Right.
There's a link on our website, or they can mail a donation to the Towers directly.
So they should just go to the Google Tower 1, Tower East.
Google Tower 1 in New Haven, and it'll bring up our website.
And in the meantime, you're joining us on High Haven at WNHH-FM, your home for community radio. We're talking about Tower 1, Tower East, a great senior living facility in New Haven that is celebrating its 50th year of showing how you can help people age with dignity and keep active in a fun community. And we are visiting with Jackie Curl, Tower 1 CEO and Managing Occupancy Director, Rebecca Goodman-Olschansky. Now, I knew Rebecca because she's our point person for all the fun events you do, and when we can get over there, get some wonderful stories that we also share with Jewish Ledger. But Jackie, I didn't know you. Are you new to this job?
I'm new to the position. I'm interim currently. I've been at the Towers for about 10 years, though.
Oh, what have you been doing there?
I started off in resident services, director of resident services, and most recently I was the chief operating officer.
So in other words, when they needed someone to keep the ship afloat, you knew where, not the bodies buried, that's a terrible metaphor for this, but you knew like where the switches are and, you know, yes, and how the place runs and
absolutely,
you knew how to keep it running. And
yeah, it was an easy transition and, you know, the Towers is doing well. I'd say we're really shining this year. It's our 50th anniversary. We're so excited.
What else do you have planned for this anniversary year besides the big event you just had?
So we have several events happening this year. I'll let Rebecca speak about a neighborhood reunion that we're hosting.
Yeah, you were just showing
up.
Me that. Like, showing just the pictures look so much fun.
Isn't that great? Yeah, we're going to have a reminisce at our neighborhood reunion on Sunday, November 12th. We invite a lot of people who grew up in the Hill section who had parents or grandparents that had businesses in the area of Oak Street, you know, before it was Route 34, the Towers, it was Oak Street, Commerce Street, Legion Avenue, and it's going to be great. It's going to be an old-fashioned deli luncheon featuring mile-high sandwiches, and we invite you to call the Towers or check out our website, and there'll be some entertainment in the program, and it's going to be a lot of fun, just a lot of reminiscing and of people from all ethnicities.
People love to talk about, because there's so much resonance for today when we talk about the whole community that's been lost that was in that part of the Hill,
that's
Oak
right.
Street and Legion Avenue in urban renewal of the mid-50s and 60s. It was torn down for new development, which I actually think is a very complicated story.
Yeah.
It's not a simple good or bad story, because in fact, Jews left when they could, but now they say, how could you tear it down? But on the other hand, there was a life there that was, with many people, many backgrounds, very life
that's
that
right.
was destroyed because of how renewal is done. What's interesting to me about that when you talk about the Towers, so the tower sits on land that used to look a lot different. That land, the streetscape looked different. There wasn't a Route 34 connector that we built and then unbuilt.
Yes.
There wasn't a New Haven Coliseum across the way that we built and unbuilt. There was this whole thriving neighbor that also had a lot of poverty and blight. So we tore it down in the 50s and 60s, what we thought were the best ideas of the time. Now we re-examine those ideas, and so now we're rebuilding New Haven, trying to get some of those ideals back about people-friendly, pedestrian-friendly, mixed-use type development. But what's interesting to me about the tower, so we built so much there that was called the new brutalist style of architecture. And a lot of that's been torn down already after one generation because it didn't work. But the Towers is actually, in my opinion, I guess I'm just armchair guy, I'm an expert, I think it's actually designed wonderfully. Because the whole challenge of density, when you want to get a lot of people in the center of a city, especially seniors who you want to be able to have walk to stuff or get a quick drive to stuff, right? Whether they're going to the program at Gateway or something down at Yale or in the Green, you want them in a packed area that does have to go in the sky, but you don't want it to look like some inhuman, dark fortress that's going to topple on you like the old half-finished Coliseum. And that, when I mentioned that earlier, that's one thing that really strikes me when I walk in the Towers, in addition to obviously the more important fact of your survival and success is the comes from the residents and the people who were invested in the community and the staff. But also, I think the fact that it's bright and human and designed so well has to have something to do with it.
Well, you know, Charles Moore designed Tower 1. And at the time, I would say it was pretty revolutionary building, and I think it has stood the test of time.
And what was revolutionary about it?
I just think the design and the, as you say, the open spaces with the windows in the entryway there really sets a tone when you enter the building, and I think it lends itself to this warm atmosphere that we discussed earlier. Yep. So
because everything around is a bleak landscape. So they built Church Street South that time, and they're tearing that down too, right
they
in your
are,
backyard.
So, yeah.
And I mean, everything around you got torn down, but you built a second tower, and people are waiting to get in. And I keep talking about the clean thing, but that's like the initial, that's such an initial first impression that tells you that's a place where you care about the place.
We do.
You walk in, you're kind of glad to be there rather than, you know, feeling the yucky.
That's a wonderful feeling when you walk in our doors. There's life. There's life breathing. There's action. There's movement. And that really catches people's eyes, you know. And wherever you are in the apartments, there's a lot of light coming in. It's designed so residents don't have a lot of walking to do. It's easily accessible from their apartment to the common areas. It's just been very comfortable environment.
And centrally located. So while they're open architecturally, the community, we've also been talking about how you connect with the community. So your own seniors living there on their own, just did this fundraising drive Puerto Rico, children from Puerto Rico coming here, come to schools. But Rebecca, you especially in your job, connect community with the Towers. How long have you been there?
A little over 19 years.
19 years.
19 years.
And you've built these relationships.
built a lot of relationships.
So like, tell me, for instance, how you got Long Wharf Theater involved with the Towers.
Well, actually, I think Jackie can allude a little to that.
I was involved originally. There was a grant through the National Endowment of the Arts. And this was maybe eight years ago.
Yeah.
I was contacted by someone at Long Wharf who was interested in applying for this grant. We worked together to write the grant, and you know, the rest is history.
So how does it work? Now you get this, they work with Long Wharf Theater to do scripts based on their life experiences, and then they perform them.
Right. Let me just say that the National Endowment of the Arts grant no longer
I was going to say grants don't
program.
Stay forever, but they hope right. that they seed a program that continues. And so how has this been able to continue?
We're currently raising funds to continue to support this program. We feel that it's important and vital to the residents who participate, as well as the other residents in the building. You know, residents have told me who have participated how wonderful it felt for them to be able to, and what they do is the Long Wharf Theater sends over their educational director, discusses the play prior to the play. The residents see the play. The educational director comes back and they talk about the play and talk about character development and how the residents may or may not relate to the characters or the themes. And then the residents write about their lives and how.
That is awesome.
And, you know, the real.
So we've always been moved by the stories. Whether it's about love life or Holocaust or, you know.
Right. Because exactly. At the heart of it, it's the residents who are sharing their own stories. And, you know, these are older people who may feel that, you know, why would someone be interested in my story? And now we're drawing crowds, you know, in for when they actually stage their stories. It's called the Towers Monologues at Long Wharf Theater. And, you know, they have an entire crowd of people listening to them, and how wonderful is that for someone to be able to gather all this wisdom through their life and then share it.
Also got to bring them into a play and have them involved both as participants and spectators.
Right.
So that's two not-for-profits working together.
That's
I've been thinking while we've been talking, the fact that Talent Towers is not-for-profit really has to be part of the reason for success. When you think about the for-profit senior industry has not always had a great track record, and when the business model here is really to have a community that takes ownership, in this case, Juice Community and the foundation's nonprofit.
And Paul, I think that's, you know, that is the secret. That is the secret to the success. It's the board members, it's the committee members, it's the members of the community who put their heart and soul for many years. We have board members who have been involved with the Towers for 10 and 20 years.
That's right.
They put their heart and soul and into it and their attention. I mean, there are many boards that aren't as vital or involved. We have an involved and dedicated board of directors who really want to see the tower succeed for the benefit of the residents. So they really believe in the mission. And I think that is the secret to the success.
And we're talking about Tower One, Tower East, the senior facility living community off of Church Street there at Tower Lane. That's celebrating its 50th year and going strong. We're talking about it with Jackie Curl and Rebecca Goodman. Now, Rebecca and Jackie, we spoke about changing demographics. So the average age of the towers, the senior, you said 300 people live there?
Almost 350. The average age resident, I'd say, is about 87, 88 years of age.
What it used to be?
Well, when it first opened, the average age was about 67, 68 years of age. But, you know.
And that's really an indication of how people are living at 87
place,
the way they sometimes.
But, you know, it's not to say that somebody moves in at the age of 75 or someone moves in at the age of 98. It depends on where they are in their life. You know? And you had talked about trying to stay at home and being at home, staying safe at home. People can stay at home in their own home for a long time, but we found out isolation. You know, a lot of people want to be in their own home, but it's not all about those four walls. You know, it's beyond that, and it's not good to be isolated.
And forget it in the cold weather with the rain and snow. I mean,
exactly.
Crazy, I mean, rain or slow. Right. When you're at Tower East, you're still going to see everyone at dinner.
That's the beautiful thing. You know, we can be shut in at home, snowed in. The Towers never closes.
And yet,
even in
bad weather, I remember at my synagogue, Bethel Kesser Israel, we were doing a program where ISO was bringing people from Towers every week for speakers. And I remember it had been a storm, and the shuttle still came from Tower One with a whole bunch of seniors in a winter day to come here and talk.
A snowy day. Life never stops. They're still dining with their friends. They're still doing card games, movies, exercise classes. Life never stops at the Towers.
So tell me about a favorite day you've had recently, each of you. Something that happened at Towers and a person you connected with who lives there.
Well, I actually have to say it was a tour that I just did recently. And I've known this person my whole life, and they are looking into the Towers as a possibility. And they came, and they brought their three children. And they walked around. They recognized people that they had known from 30, 35 years ago. And they were still a little unsteady, a little hesitant, because they didn't want to leave their home where they've lived for 60-odd years. You know, it's hard, and I understand. I get it. My mother lived at the Towers for 14 and a half years, and I personally have had family members since the beginning of the Towers. So I get where people are coming from. I haven't walked in their shoes yet, but I get it. And all during the tour, the potential resident was hesitant and putting those barriers up, and the children were so pleased with the environment and the community. And the prospective resident was walking through, recognizing people, seeing all the things that we have to offer. By the time the tour was over, and it wasn't that long leaving, she pulled me aside away from her children, said she needed to talk to me privately, and the children respected that. She took me in my office and hugged me and started to cry, and I started to cry, and she said, "I knew about the Towers, but I didn't really know about the Towers," and she couldn't thank me more.
And she's coming to live there?
Without a doubt. The next day, the children called me and said, "I don't know what you did, but whatever." I said, "I didn't do anything. We walked and we talked, and you know, you just walk in and you feel it. You just feel the walls speak to you and embrace you." And the residents, "Hi, how are you?" You know, they're... How you walk in, Paul, they'll just start a conversation with you.
The story you just told resonates with me, because just in recent years, I know of examples where kids were worried so much about their parents, and the parents really didn't want to leave their home and weren't acknowledging and start having the memory loss, and were so reluctant at first to even entertain the idea of moving. And then when they went to the Towers, there was that pivot. They came in very negative. The kids were nervous, and then it was the senior who wanted to be there.
It's interesting,
right?
You know, it's interesting when my mother...
That's a tough transition. Like, that matters for so many people involved.
When my mother
family.
Moved there, it was shortly thereafter after my father passed away, she said to me one night, she said, "You know, Beck, I'm really happy to be here at this point in my life." And she was active. She aged in place over 14 and a half years there. But she said, "You know, at the end of the night, when I put my head down on the pillow, I have peace of mind. We have 24-hour security. I'm just, you know, a push button away from somebody being in my apartment within a few seconds." And I said, "Yes, Mom. And you know what? I also have peace of mind when I put my head down on the pillow at night. And it's not because I'm an employee, because of a family member, because I know how the Towers..."
So you used to run into your mom when you were at work?
Oh, yes.
How sweet. Isn't that sweet? Or was it not sweet?
It was wonderful. Yeah. It was wonderful. Actually, a little funny story is one day I was looking for her. I was getting ready to pack up. I couldn't find her. I think she was 95 years old at that point in time. I said, "Mom, where were you? I saw you at lunchtime, and here it is 2.5 hours later." She said, "Oh, after lunch, I stopped. I started talking with somebody. Then I went to listen to a lecture. And then I went to a philosophy class." She said, "You know, you're never too old to learn something." I said, "My mother at 95 learning philosophy." I thought it was beautiful. You know, go be well. Be too busy for me. I think that's a beautiful thing at many times. And it was wonderful.
What are any other new plans for the next 50 years? What you got besides a year-long celebration keeping this... wonderful facility going
strong.
I do
want to share with you, we do have another wonderful program carrying along our 50th anniversary year long of events. In December, I believe it's on Sunday, December 17th, we are going to have our Towers B'nai Mitzvah celebration. We are going to have residents. We did this about 10 years ago, where there were residents that did not have the opportunity to be bar bat mitzvahed. Some men who... had to, you know, go to war, or there were instances in their family where they were the breadwinner. Women were not known to have bat mitzvahs. We had 25 residents that had a B'nai Mitzvah. what an emotional, moving day that was. We're planning on doing this again. I don't know the exact amount of residents that will be participating this time, but again, it's a Sunday not to be missed.
And they're studying for that now.
And they're studying that right now with Rabbi Benjamin Skolnick from Temple Beth Shalom in Hamden. Yes, he helped us.
Well, that's quite the last time.
He's wonderful. He is. So I encourage you to join us and be part of the mitzvah.
You're going to let us know, and I can't imagine we'd miss that one. Well, thank you for joining us today. So everyone, if you want to support the towers, decent and happy and safe and productive way to age in place in New Haven, you could go to Tower 1, Tower East New Haven, or just Tower 1 New Haven on Google. Get to their website, give them some money, find out what's going on, and connect. Thanks for connecting with us today, Jackie Curl and Rebecca Goodman Olshansky.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for the great work you do at Tower 1 Tower East. It makes us proud to be New Haveners.
Thank you so much. Happy Sukkot to
everybody out there.
Holiday
starts at sundown tonight, Wednesday. May all our shelters of peace protect us, bring us joy. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book it with us all week long here on WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.